What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday, hump day here at the Morning Toast. I'm so excited to be joined. I miss Jackie, but if there had to be anyone sitting in her seat, I'm so glad it is my good friend, radio host, Taylor Strecker. Hello, Taylor. How are you doing today?
Hey, girl. Hey, I'm doing fabulously.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
I'm so excited you're here. Thank you so much for being here. The Toasters love you. I love you. I know we're going to have a killer show. You were actually with me on the show like two Wednesdays ago, maybe three.
Yes.
And we did advice for the Dear Toaster segment. And people, your reviews were so rave.
Really?
Yeah, because we actually had one about someone's brother who might be gay. And you actually just offered really good insight as a late in life lesbian.
Yes.
So I was really grateful for you for being here. And I'm so excited that you're here again.
Thank you. I haven't been to the new studio.
Oh, right. What do you think?
I'm living for it. And the location. Location, 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 location.
You look amazing. Like a gilded goddess. Like an Oscar. You are my Oscar. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
It's such an honor to be nominated.
The Academy sent me.
We have been hanging out so much recently. And that brings me so much joy.
Me too. I love you
for work
so
and
much.
Pleasure. I love you so much.
This weekend was so fabulous.
So fabulous. Taylor and her girlfriend Taylor were both up in Pennsylvania with me, Ben, Brian. It was literally the best weekend, and I'm so glad I get to see you again.
I know. Wait, you're really good at sharing friends. I just want to say that, because that's like a thing that I'm actually truly terrible at.
That's so funny that you say that, because like I actually think I'm terrible at that. But when you know that two of your friends like are meant to be friends.
Yes.
And it enhances the whole group vibe. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I know, but like I was saying to Claudia before we started, I had such deep anxiety. And like, I used to be the kind of person, if I got anxious, I would hate everybody that made me anxious, even though I make me anxious.
Even though I'm the problem.
But I was like fully aware that it was me. But I had like, I was living in the land of bathos driving home. Like it was like highs and lows. Like I was like living for the weekend. And then I would be like, why did I say that to somebody?
We just like drank a lot. Like when we like didn't need to, like at every single point in the day. It was like a mini bender in the country.
I mean, I was next level Sunday.
You were next level Sunday. Like I was sober. I drove Taylor to the grocery store because we needed things for nachos, obviously. And I was just like the sober person in the car. And like everyone was annoying me because like you guys were having the best time. And I was like, can we just get the things and get the fuck out of the grocery store? But Taylor was like doing cartwheels.
You're really scary. You're stalling at a grocery store.
No, and when I'm sober stalling, like it's the worst. No, 100%. But like, I have no regrets because it was such a good weekend.
It was so great.
And I'm so thrilled that you're here. We have a crazy show today. Do you see all these cards, you guys? Thick. We got a lot of stories.
Okay.
It's Wednesday. We have Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. And I'm really excited to do all that. There's not a ton of, you know, pop culture news. But yesterday was like a historic, crazy day. I think a lot of people have been waiting for the Derek Chauvin verdict. And yesterday we got it guilty on all three counts.
Yes.
And it was crazy. Like I was in a meeting and I was refreshing Twitter like the whole time. And it was just, I really did not know. Of course, the man is guilty, but you just never know with these things. Like what the court's going to decide. And I just think a lot of people felt like a huge sigh of relief.
Yes.
Even though this was like a trial that should have never happened. Like George Floyd should be alive.
Totally. So I was watching it right before I was recording my last hour of my radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. And I was like such a ball of emotion. And it was so nerve-wracking watching the verdict come in, because I was like, if this goes left, if this goes wrong, like I don't even want to be a part of this country anymore.
Like how do we move on from that? There's literally a video of it happening, and that's not enough to convict someone.
But like the fact that I was nervous about that says a lot.
A lot. And it's like, as much as this is like a victory it's a small victory because, first of all, George Floyd shouldn't even be dead. And second of all, it's like, this is coming, you know, on the heels of, you know, four more black people dying at the hands of police.
Exactly.
Yesterday, a 14-year-old, Micaiah Bryant, like, yep. Dante Wright. It's just, it seems like this never-ending thing. And I can only imagine how harrowing it is to be, you know, a black person experiencing this in America.
Yep.
But small, very small win.
I saw, you know, it's not justice, it's accountability.
Right.
And that's the thing. And I think that a lot of people's initial reaction was like, justice has been served.
Right.
And then I think you start to go through the range of emotions. And so my co-host and I were like, we can't even really speak to this right now because we like literally are in shock recovering. And it's like, we are feeling relieved. We're also feeling sad. Like it was just such a...
It's a lot to unpack.
A ton to unpack.
So there's still more work to be done. But yes. I think a lot of people feel in a small way this is, you know, a full circle. It's been almost a year since, you know, we all saw that video.
Yeah.
And so to close that particular chapter feels like it's as good as it's going to get.
Proud of the jury, for sure. And definitely, I think that it is... It's the beginning.
It's the beginning,
yeah.
For sure. So that is... Good news. But we're going to move on with the show and deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. 2 days in a row.
I know.
Okay, so today's episode is brought to you by Bruch. Do you have a Bruch toothbrush?
No.
Oh, we have to get you one. It's literally the official toothbrush of the morning toast. It is the best electric toothbrush. A lot of electric toothbrushes can cost over $200, which is like the price of a handbag. So that's insane.
Yeah.
But Bruch is very reasonably priced. And in my opinion, it is the best electric toothbrush on the market. I know so many of you guys have gotten it yet, but if you haven't yet, we have a code. The Bruch has 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. The battery life lasts 4 weeks. So if you're traveling, you don't have to bring your charger with you unless you're traveling for more than a month, in which case I'm jealous. The charging stand is magnetic. It's very elegant, very Tesla. Like it doesn't take up a lot of clutter on your cabinets. And it comes with a compact travel case, too. They also offer a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. Bruch will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. The electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. It's also a great gift. If you want to get 15% off your Bruch toothbrush kit and the refill plan, use the promo code TOAST at Bruch.com. That's 15% off promo code TOAST at Bruch.com.
I'm getting it.
It's so good.
You sold me on the Tesla stand because mine's got a wire and it drives me nuts.
It has a very thin wire and the stand is like literally this big. It's elegant as fuck.
Yes, I want it.
Okay, so celebrity news, not gonna lie. Nothing crazy happened in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
But Chrissy Teigen did go on Watch What Happens Live and spill a little bit of tea.
I saw.
On Kim and Kanye.
Okay.
According to Page Six, according to Chrissy Teigen via Page Six,
right.
Kim Kardashian gave her all in the marriage to Kanye West. Chrissy Teigen said it's a shame that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's marriage is ending, but vowed the reality star gave her all to make it work. The supermodel, who's friends with Kardashian, said she's spoken to Kim in the wake of the split. Quote, I've definitely been in touch with Kim more than my husband, John, has been in touch with Kanye.
Okay.
Anyone knows Kanye, it's that he goes off the grid, Teigen added, chuckling.
Right.
It's hard to ever contact Kanye, but Kim is doing okay. I know Kim gave her all for everything. So she's making it abundantly clear, like, her and John are on Team Kim.
Yes. I mean, well, first of all, I just want to say that it seems like my fiance is Kim and I am Kanye. You can never get in touch with me, which is the worst thing in the world. So, but, like, Kanye does seem very, like, withdrawn, and he's, like, such an egomaniac.
Yes. An artist.
I mean, even without Chrissy saying this, I would say I would even be Team Kim.
And, by the way, I do believe that Kim really tried her best.
How many times has she been married? Trust me, that'll motivate a bitch.
No, and it's like, if you think of all the things she's actually put up with from Kanye, like him running for president, like in such a difficult climate, and a lot of people were really unhappy with him doing that. Like, I just think she put up with so much, and she never wavered in her support of him and his work and his art and their family. So I knew this already. Like, I do believe, like, she really tried her absolute best.
So he recently came out in a story, maybe, like, last week, and he was saying how in his next relationship he really wants to be with
an artist.
Shady as fuck.
Also, like, the fact, it's just hard for Kanye. Like, he has to go from marrying Kim to dating someone else when, in my opinion, Kim is the most elegant, fabulous, sophisticated, famous, stunning, beautiful, smart in the world.
Yes.
And honestly, for Kanye, like, it can really only go down. But Kanye's reputation in the last few years has, like, kind of been squandered. So,
totally.
Kim, it's up for Kim, you know?
I've had a range of emotions about Kim over the years, but I've settled on, for the most part, I think she's, yes, epic and fabulous and iconic. So
we will not tolerate any other sort of verbiage here on the show.
Which is why I changed my opinion. I do think that she's going to be, like, beyond fine. And it makes me sad because I do, like, college dropout Kanye is my everything.
I know.
But, like, I have to remember that he's not that. I mean, he yelled at Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That alone.
Disgraceful.
I mean, the running for president was pretty bad. And there's been a lot in between.
I know.
So
like, it must have been, I mean, it was painful for us to watch.
Yeah.
He went on those, and he's publicly sad. Struggling with his mental health. And yes. I think Kim has just been kind of struggling with wanting to help and keeping it a private matter. And then Kanye blowing it up on Twitter and stuff. So Kim has been through a lot. They both have. And honestly, as much as it pains me, I do think that this is for the best.
It is for the best. I do feel like when they first got together, though, it was like when he was bringing her out with Jay-Z and Beyonce, I felt like she was the underdog. And now, clearly, she has surpassed him.
100%. She always talks about how the first Met Gala she went to, she was only invited because she was Kanye's date. And, like, she said literally no one would talk to her. Like, it was the most awkward thing ever. And now, like, literally every single designer would die, literally die, to have Kim there as their guest, which is such a crazy full circle thing. And one of my favorite things about Kim is, like, in her Eat Your Hollywood story, and I've heard her say this a lot of times before, is that, like, when Kanye first started dating Kim, Kim was considered, like, a trash reality star.
Totally.
Sex tape. Like, it was really considered lowbrow. And Kanye was this mega artist.
Genius.
Influential artist. And he was unapologetic in her love for her, and he brought her around everywhere, and he, like, always stood by her, and she was like, it meant so much to me that, like, he was never embarrassed of me. Like, he always brought me out. He was so proud to be my boyfriend. And, like, that's the Kim and Kanye that I love, and I love that they always, at the end of the day, like, had this respect for each other.
Yeah, and he was obsessed with her.
Obsessed. And I hope that they maintain that level of respect for no other sake than for their kids, you know?
Well,
public divorces are so messy.
I have a question, and I'm saying this as a social climber.
Yeah.
Is Kim the greatest social climber of all time?
Yeah, but you know what? At some point, it's not social climbing. It's networking.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
that a lot. Isn't it funny how they're literally the same thing?
Yes, they're
but
the same
thing.
But
one is like, wow, she's such a great networker. And the other is like, what a social climber. It's all about the inflection in your voice when they're literally the same thing.
I'm the latter.
I am a social climbing networker. I'm a social climbing, comma, networking thirst monster. I feel like I'm pretty good at it.
You're phenomenal at it. I think that's why we're friends.
I love social climbing. Like, I feel like there's really nothing wrong with that.
I think it's fabulous. I've been doing it since I was a wee child.
And, like, sorry that I just want to advance my personal and professional life.
Wait, who was your first person you ever social climbed?
I mean, you have to think of it, on what scale? Like, in high school? Or, well, like,
want me to go first?
It sounds like you have an answer.
I do have an answer. Okay. My first social climb was Kate Bosworth.
Okay.
She moved to my town as, like, being in The Horse Whisperer. And I was like, I will make that girl my friend because she's going to be a star and I will ride her coattails all the way to Hollywood.
Before she was famous?
I mean, she wasn't that famous. She had, like, just an opening scene in The Horse Whisperer.
And then she moved to your town.
So she moved to our town, like, as, like, a Hollywood whatever.
Oh, everyone was, like, shook.
Totally. And she's gorgeous. And then we all hung out, obviously, high school. And then she did Blue Crush our senior year.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Was she in your high school?
So I left the high school and I was devastated when I was like, wait, a famous person's finally moving to town. Oh. But then I also wanted to be the famous person. It was a struggle. And she set me up with my first boyfriend.
Wait, what?
You don't know this?
Wait,
I literally will never shut up about this story. Like, my audience is like, if you say Kate Bosworth one more fucking time, we're going to kill you.
We have that here at The Morning Toast. I use a lot of the same stories. I always talk about the fact that the paparazzi had the absolute gall to show up at Bethany's ex-fiance's funeral and, like, photograph him and her family.
And it's horrible.
It's always, like, my point of reference when I say, like, the media is so fucked up. And it's like, and remember that time the paparazzi went to Dennis's funeral? Like, and now it's, like, lost its, you know.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, continue.
So, yeah, she moved to town. I left for all-girl Catholic school, which is lesbian breeding ground as far as I'm concerned. And when I came up to my parents, I was like, what did you expect
when you sent me to an all-girls Catholic school?
And so I was happy to leave the public school because I was just getting tortured by the kids in my class. But when she moved in, I was like, I wanted to hang out with her, but I also, like, I felt strong competition with her.
Yeah, I know.
And my best friend in middle school, he would, like, torture me with her. So he would be like, guess who's coming over to watch Dawson's Creek tonight? And I was like, who? He was like, Kate. I was like, can I come? He's like, no, you left me, went to private school, and I'm so pissed at you.
Oh, man. So she was like really part of like the social fabric of your school.
Yes. And then we went on this Appalachia tour, not tour, but it was like Habitat for Humanity. And we went and built houses, and we were all sleeping at like high schools on floors, like in like sleeping bags.
Right.
And Kate was at my center, not on my team, but at my center.
Counts.
And so I was like, let's smoke cigs and become best friends. And so we were like it was so like,
did you get Kate Bosworth into cigarettes?
I feel like the boys on the trip got us into cigarettes. We were like all split one, all 15 of us. Oh,
that's like not in today's climate with COVID. You're all sharing a cigarette.
I know.
Sick.
Not COVID safe. And then I made her my friend, and she told me I had great skin at the time I did. And then she introduced me to her ex-boyfriend, who then became like my first real boyfriend.
Wait, this is the craziest story.
Crazy.
I've known you for so long and I didn't know this. So have you run into her in post?
Yes. Like a handful of times in different ways, and it's always a different scenario. And
does she remember you?
She does, but it was like, I remember the very first time, because like I had like reoccurring dreams of like running into her.
Of course.
So I was out in LA for my junior year of college, and my roommate slash really good friend was like interning at a entertainment like legal office.
Okay.
So her job was to deliver scripts to clients. So one day she knocks on the door, it opens, it's Kate Bosworth, and she was like, oh my god, I know Taylor Strecker. And Kate was like, no fucking way. Tell her to call me. I can't believe it. What a small world. Blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, never called, but like, whatevsky.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years later, when I was working at Sirius, I was like obsessed with like, she's gonna come in here at some point.
Yeah, of
I'm
course.
Gonna interview her. Like, what's it gonna be like? And I was at the Soho House having lunch with like my team from the radio show. And all of a sudden, my co-host Kenny was like, don't look now. Kate Bosworth is here. And I was like, ah! So I got up and walked over and I was like, oh my God, Kate, hello. And she was like, it wasn't mean at all, but it wasn't like, oh my, it's not like.
But she's like very like whisper tone, fragile, yes. Small woman.
It was very like, oh, how nice to see you. Like we had just seen each other 3 days earlier at the PTA meeting.
Right.
It was just so weirdly calm.
Yeah.
Like if you and I, like if we walked out of here and then ran into each other on the street 5 minutes later, we would be like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I actually met her once and she pulled a nice to see you when I'm like, bitch, we've never met. But like, that's obviously like what celebrities do because like.
She did that to me.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm saying it sounds kind of familiar. And that was the first time I ever experienced like that's a thing in Hollywood. People always just say nice to see you instead of nice to meet you. And I felt like such a dope for being like, nice to meet you. So I learned my lesson real fucking quick. Well, thank you for sharing that. That is
welcome.
So fascinating.
You're welcome.
Next story, a little royal drama. An obsessed woman gets into Prince Andrew's home by pretending to be his date.
Of course.
A woman obsessed with Prince Andrew. I can't believe that that person exists. Like, who would be obsessed with this creepy ass pedophile? A woman obsessed with Prince Andrew managed to trick her way into his official residence by pretending she was there for a date. She was wandering around for at least 20 minutes while he was home, according to a report.
Oh my God.
The smartly dressed 44-year-old Spanish woman was so convincing in saying she had a lunch date with the Duke that security guards even paid for her taxi when she arrived at the Royal Lodge on Monday.
Oh my God.
She then spent at least 20 minutes wandering around his gardens. That sounds like
lovely.
No, that sounds like sexual. Can I wander around your gardens? Check out some of your bushes. She spent at least 20 minutes wandering around his gardens before heading inside while he was home. She was very confident and walked around like she owned the place, a source said. She cut quite a glamorous figure and the guards were completely taken by her. They had no idea this woman was a total stranger to Andrew and seemingly had a fixation with him.
Oh my God.
She reportedly only gave herself away when she started talking to a member of the staff to try and find out where Andrew was. To the staff member's shock, the woman then claimed to be engaged to Prince Andrew and said she was there to get married to him, the source told The Sun. She said that that was the reason why she had flown over from Spain a couple days earlier. By all accounts, the woman had a map of the Royal Lodge and other royal residences, including Buckingham Palace, in her handbag. She was also found to have a key ring that was in the shape of a cat, which had spikes on it that could be used as self-defense.
Of course it was a cat.
That potential weapon apparently caused the police some concern. So, you know what I just think is so funny? Well, not funny, but it's clear that, like, Prince Andrew just has, like, women running about his palace at all times. That, like, the guards, you shouldn't really be able to penetrate a royal palace.
Interesting word.
But yeah, right. Right. So if there's like a situation where a woman just gets in, like that's because women are just coming there all the time.
Exactly.
Literally.
Pun intended. I think that under normal circumstances, I feel bad for celebs when they're like you know, stalked by creepers.
I agree.
But in this case, he's the number one creep. So I actually am here for this. No, I love her. She's a heroine.
She is a national hero.
She is.
She deserves a monument outside Buckingham Palace.
She's a treasure.
I literally fucking hate Prince Andrew.
I hate him so much.
For a multitude of reasons, for the obvious ones, but more so because, like, it's frustrating to see someone, like, abuse their power so wholeheartedly and have absolutely no consequences, no repercussions, zero. No punishment. Like, he should be in prison.
Big time.
And, like, imagine being so cavalier and so powerful that, like, you are literally the most disgusting person ever, and you sit down for an interview, like, thinking you have nothing to hide. Have you ever seen that, like, famous BBC interview?
I haven't seen it, but I feel like what I saw from the Jeffrey Epstein doc, it's just, like, he has so much blood on his hands. It is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And then it super triggered me with the whole Meghan Markle, Prince Harry things. It's like, so wait, you guys literally go out of your way to cover the shit out of this guy's tracks, and you can't even correct a story for them.
And you can't even just, like, protect family. Like,
yeah, no.
No, Prince Andrew is literally, like,
a monster.
He doesn't know it, but he's my arch nemesis.
He doesn't know
it. But he'll know it soon, because I'm going to sneak into that palace.
I was going to say, turns out
I'm going to wander around his garden, see how he likes it. No, he's an actual piece of shit, and I hate even reporting on him, but this was something, I hope he felt unsafe in his own home.
Me too.
Brings me joy to think. Just merely the idea gives me chills. We have more stories for you guys, but the rest of the show is brought to you by Skylight Frames. If you're not able to visit your mom, dad, grandparents, a great gift idea is the Skylight Frame. It's a touchscreen photo frame that you can email photos to and they'll appear in seconds so your mom or grandma can see your favorite moments. So a lot of people this is a great gift because it's great for yourself, but also if you have a grandparent who's older or a parent who's older who doesn't really know how, they're not really tech savvy, you set it up for them and then from your phone, you don't even have to be in the house, you can like send them photos like you're at the park with your kid or your cousin. It's a really cute idea and a lot of people always message me like, what was the code for Skylight Frames. So listen up. Staying in touch with those we love is more important than ever, and the easiest way to do it is with Skylight, a photo frame you can email photos to anytime, anywhere. It's a great way to feel close to those that you love, even when you're far away. You can tap the heart button. It will let the sender know you love the photo. You can engage with them. It's really a great gift, and they have 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your Skylight, they'll offer you a full refund. It is a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen. You can swipe through photos with your finger and even tap to thank the person who sent the photo. It's so simple, even non-tech-savvy parents can set it up and use it. The customers who have bought the Skylight Frames love it. You will too. A special offer, you can get $10 off your first purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com. Enter the code TOAST to get $10 off your first purchase of skylightframes.com. Code TOAST. Skylight is SKYLIGHT. Frame.com. Code TOAST. We actually got one for Ben's parents and they like die for it. We don't have kids yet, so all we do is put up pictures of Theo.
I was gonna say.
And they die for it. So it's a great gift for a parent, but it's also great for your house. Like I've seen a million people who had those frames, yep. And I think they're great. Skylightframes.com.
And Mother's Day is coming up.
Yes, saying. It is.
Yes.
Okay, on to more celeb salacious news. Hayden Panettiere's ex-boyfriend is going to jail.
He's a bad, bad boy.
Hayden Panettiere's ex-boyfriend, Brian Hickerson, has been sentenced to 45 days in county jail, according to multiple reports. Entertainment Tonight reached out to their attorney for comment, but we haven't heard anything. The 31-year-old was sentenced following multiple domestic violence allegations involving Panettiere over the last few years. On Tuesday, Hickerson pled no contest to two felony counts of injuring a spouse or girlfriend. He begins serving his sentence on May 7th. In addition to the jail time, he was also sentenced to 4 years of formal probation, 52 domestic violence classes, and $500 in restitution, and a 5-year protective order.
Wow.
This has been like the longest,
right? I was going to say, is this the only boyfriend or has there been multiple? Because that's how long it feels.
It's been a long journey, and I feel so bad for Hayden Panettiere because she has just been through a lot. Like,
she really has.
And she's really kind of like stepped out of the spotlight because I think she's just had a lot of things going on in her personal life.
Yeah.
She suffered from really bad postpartum depression and then dealt with this bullshit. Like, I love her. She's in like so many of my favorite, most iconic like movies that I grew up with, like Bring It On 2. and also Raising Hell. And like, she's just an iconic actress and I love her. And then she was great in Nashville.
Oh, I loved her in Nashville.
Do you love Nashville?
Love that show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. I feel like you don't think I like country. I'm not like a stan the way you are.
But I know Taylor Donahue, your fiancé.
My fiancé.
Is But I didn't know that you were.
She's lying. We are equal country fans.
Okay.
I taught her about Chicken Fried, just for the record.
Such a good song.
Such a good song. But I'm like, it's like 50-50 with me with country.
Yeah.
But yeah, but watching the AMC Awards was ACL. Brutal.
AMC's the movie theater.
That's why I kept getting up and leaving.
Yeah, we were all watching the ACM Awards. Taylor was like, this is great, and then left. She like sat outside.
I was talking to my mom.
You missed it. You missed it.
But I do like Nashville. I love it. And I really did like learn to love Hayden.
Her character was so annoying in the beginning.
Very annoying. But I feel so, so deeply bad for her.
Me too.
This is just, I can't really remember like all of the stories around it, but
no,
it was,
me neither,
she really roughed her up though.
She's so private now. Like, and yeah, she has been for a while. So I'm just glad she's like getting her peace. And I mean, what is it? How many days in jail? 45 days. Like, that's not enough, because if you feel like she's obviously
now,
I imagine she feels very afraid of him.
But did they say what? 5 years restraining?
Probation. And a protective order that lasts 5 years. But
protective orders are kind of bullshit from what I've heard.
It's just a piece of paper. That's not stopping someone from showing up and harassing you.
No, we need to really like figure out a way to make that better.
And we need to protect Hayden Panettiere at all costs. She's really the talent of a generation, and I think she's a precious gem of a woman.
Do you think she'll come back? And like, once things kind of, the dust settles, like, hopefully. I hope.
She's a very talented actress. I really hope so.
And she can sing her patanties off.
Yes, she can.
So.
And she's just an icon. Do you ever see Raising Helen?
No.
What?
Never.
It's such a good movie. It's like a really old Kate Hudson movie.
Ooh.
Okay, so the love interests are Kate Hudson and John Corbett, Aiden Shaw from Sex and the City.
Dead.
And the kids are played by Abigail Breslin.
Oh my God.
I think the son is Abigail Breslin's brother. Can you fact check that? And Hayden Panettiere are the kids.
Is she like a teenager in it?
Yes. Felicity Huffman is their mom.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. You know, I won't spoil it. And Joan Cusack.
Stop.
It's literally a star-studded, amazing rom-com. Maybe one of my favorites. I talk about it all the time.
Raising Helen. I'll watch it.
You and Taylor will love it. It's so, like, sad. It's amazing.
So there's lesbians in it.
No. Is there? No, there's no lesbians. You guys will love it because it's a beautiful story.
The second I heard Joan Cusack and Felicity Huffman, but Taylor, I was like, they're a couple.
Taylor, you know, I think of you as so much more than a lesbian.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. No, I appreciate that.
You will love this movie.
Okay. We're watching it.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. Is that a thing people have seen? Is it her brother or no? Yes. Yeah, they look a lot alike. Okay. It's such a good movie.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, everyone's seen it.
Is it because I'm 1,000 years old?
No, because it's actually like an older, maybe not everyone's seen it. Okay, well, just watch it.
Okay.
I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Okay, next up, a little tech news, because Apple unveiled like all their new products yesterday. Like,
oh.
So much shit we don't need, okay?
God.
Here's everything Apple just announced. New iPad Pros, colorful iMacs, AirTags, and more. So they updated their iPad Pro with a chip from a desktop computer. Nobody cares. They also announced a new line of iMacs, like the desktop, that come in different colors, which I actually think is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's like a throwback to...
It's very retro.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
What other shit don't we need they're going to sell to us, Apple?
Right. They are updating their Apple TV 4K box with a new processor. Nobody cares.
Oh, with probably a new cord.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't even.
New cord.
I want my dingle dangle jack. I don't want this one.
It's so fucking
annoying.
It's
so rude.
But people are really excited about this next one. They're announcing long expected lost item trackers called AirTags. So they're basically like little tracking devices you put on like wallets, purses. So
yeah.
And they have GPS location. So if you lose your wallet.
I'm sticking it on my kid one day.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like I'm sticking it on like the backs of my earrings because that's the shit I actually lose. So they're $29 per tag, or you can get four for $100.
That's actually awesome. There are tags like this, though.
Yes, a lot of other companies. Like, Apple's kind of late.
They're, like, hella late, but it's Apple.
Yeah, and I saw it. I saw a company like that on Shark Tank, and they're doing quite well.
Yeah, I forget what it's called.
It's called, like, Tracker Bitch, you know?
Tracker Bitch.
They also have a new iPhone 12 color, purple.
Nope.
This is, like...
Not interested.
No, it's just, like... This announcement wasn't that great. There's just like lots of different colors.
Do you think they feel like this insane pressure to like always have these big announcements?
Quarterly like bullshit.
They really set themselves up for disappointment.
This one's interesting. They're launching a podcast subscription service.
So
they're putting themselves against Spotify and other competitors in the audio streaming wars.
Okay.
But what does that mean, a podcast subscription service? Because podcasts are free.
I had a friend that was given a job offer at Apple Radio. And it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like, she didn't end up going because she was in a contract with another company. I can't name the name. But she did say, like, she was nervous because she's like, well, what is Apple Radio? Like, who listens?
They have so much money and they pay so many celebrities to have radio shows. Like, Kendall Jenner has one. Luke Combs one. I don't know anyone who's ever popped in their headphones and was like, I'm going to listen to Apple Radio today.
I didn't really know it was a thing.
Who the fuck listens to that?
Do you think that Apple is, like, going to not have its heyday at some point in time ever in our lifetime?
I mean, Apple is, like, so integrated in our everyday lives. Like,
it's wild.
I don't know how people who don't have iPhones, like, have, like, survive. Like, you don't have FaceTime?
If you don't have an iPhone, you never go to Starbucks.
I never go to Starbucks.
I know. So you're, like, primed to get an Android.
No, I know. Actually, I've heard they're much better than iPhones. Apple Card is now expanding to kids who are 13 years old. Like, that's fucking weird.
That's so weird.
That's pretty much it. Like, this really wasn't that big of an extravaganza. The big thing everyone's talking about are the Apple tags.
Yeah. I mean, I love a tag. I lose everything.
I lose everything, too. But, like, that's part of life.
It's fun.
And, like, okay, so somebody steals my wallet.
Yes.
They're throwing the tag in the trash.
1,000,000%. But if you stick your wallet in the freezer like I do.
What?
Because why wouldn't you put your wallet in the freezer?
Yeah, of course.
It's like, then it's very helpful.
Yeah. No, by the way, like, this literally happens all the time. My friend, I remember I was at a club with my friend. Oh, remember clubs? My friend Alicia, and her wallet got stolen. And it was like a wallet purse, so her phone was in there.
Fuck.
We were able to track the phone, and it was literally on the corner of the club. So we run out, we're calling the phone, we look in the trash, literally her wallet has been emptied, but they throw the phone and the wallet in the trash.
Oh my God.
So it's like, I don't even know if a tracker would help, unless there's no way to get the tracker off.
Well, I mean, also, if it's like new to the market, people won't necessarily even know to look for them.
That's true. And unless it looks pretty big, but if it's like really indiscreet.
Stick it in a fold.
Yeah, I love sticking these in my
crevasse.
Folds, in a crevice. In a little crease. I'm underwhelmed by the market, you know, the Apple market.
Same. I've been, though. I feel like I just like want to believe in myself and give up an Apple.
You can.
I know.
Okay, maybe like if for no other reason than like the social implications of not being an Apple user.
No, you're a weirdo if you don't have an Apple anything.
No, it's true. And I'm sorry that that offends people who don't have Android. But there is this stigma.
I will say, though, that was also my jealousy speaking. My brother-in-law refuses to use Apple products.
I respect that. I really
do. And I really respect him.
I am such a loser. Like, I conform to all of society's standards. Same. Because I have crippling self-doubt and anxiety, and I just want to fit in.
I just want to be liked.
I do. So, like, if I was secure enough in myself to, like, never conform and just, like, not have an Android, I actually have a lot of respect for people because I could never be that risky.
They're independent thinkers.
Exactly.
Like, they're the kind of people that like themselves.
Oh, can't relate. It is the fifth and final story brought to you by Blueprint Test Prep. You're never quite sure if the way you're studying is going to drive results. We've always used index cards and just read them over and over. It's hard to commit to studying and get in a routine because of all the distractions, i.e., our iPhones.
Hello.
I was never a very good studier. I would bury my head in a textbook for hours, but it felt like I never improved on test scores. That's why you've got to try Blueprint. Blueprint's test prep delivers life-changing score increases. On average, their students receive 11-point increases on the LSAT for future lawyers and 13-point increases on MCAT for future doctors. That is a very big deal.
Yeah, it is.
They make the boring interesting. A shocking thing they've learned over the years is that when you are actually bored, you don't retain information very well. Blueprint was founded on the idea that test prep can be entertaining and effective. They use unique animations and memorable graphics, plus humorous pop culture references to make your experience engaging and enjoyable. Like, that's so true. Mnemonic devices are always more helpful. Like, if you're just mindlessly reading, like, none of that information is going to stay in your brain.
No.
They also have the only dynamic study plan tool that creates your personalized study plan at the click of a button. Your plan will outline exactly what to study, evolve with your busy schedule, and sync to your phone so you stay on track. Plus, they only hire the best instructors and tutors. To teach for Blueprint, you must score in the 98th percentile or higher on an exam. They turn down over 90% of people who apply to teach for them, so you know you're only getting the best of the best instructors. If you're not taking any of these tests, like the MCAT or the LSAT, make sure to let your friends and family know about Blueprint. It'll change their life for the better. Blueprint's an incredible, they've got an incredible contest going on right now to win $20,000 towards your law school tuition. Just head to their site and enter to win. Plus, Blueprint has an exclusive offer for the Morning Toast listeners. They rarely offer discounts. This is big, but for the first 100 listeners from our show who go to blueprintprep.com and use the promo code Toast, you'll save 20% off. So that's over $200 off your LSAT or MCAT class. I know we have a lot of toasters in grad school. So listen up. Again, the first 100 people who go to blueprintprep.com blueprintprep.com and use the code TOAST can save $200. Wow. That's blueprintprep.com. The promo code is TOAST, and they're running a contest right now to win $20,000 towards your law school tuition. So blueprintprep.com.
I took the LSAT.
What?
Yeah, and I fucking sucked.
That's because you didn't have blueprint.
No kidding. I'm sitting here being like, wait, only I was around when that was happening.
I am learning so much about you. You took the LSAT?
Yeah, so I'm from a family. I mean, we're New Englanders. We're right. Education snobs.
Yeah.
So when I went to Ithaca, they were like, but my dad went to Harvard and he's a doctor, in case I forgot to mention it.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, I felt the pressure to be a professional. And I was like, I'm not going to be a doctor because like I can't and I shan't.
Yeah.
But I could be a lawyer because I like to talk. And I also love Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
So I took
those are good qualifications.
Thank you.
What'd you get? 179.
179. I definitely did not. Honestly, I can't remember. I blocked it. I think I got like a 114. Whatever the lowest score is, I got that. I was so painfully bad at law. So
did you not decide to go to law school because your scores were bad?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not going to go to some crap school because it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to go into the workforce.
I'll go be a radio host.
Yeah, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go work and then I'll retake the LSAT and I'll like, you know, I'll just like what's the word? Defer.
Push it off, yeah.
Self-defer.
And you never did that.
And then I got into radio and I was like, why would I go to law school when I could be a radio show host?
Do you still have like piles of like LSAT books like somewhere in your house?
No, I burned them. And I danced naked around the fire.
I'm dying. Okay, fifth and final story, a little more streaming news. Netflix predicts, that's hard to say.
It is.
Their worst quarter for streaming growth in its history.
Why?
The stock has fallen 9%. They only added 4 million new subscribers in the first quarter of this year.
Only?
Which is, I know, I'm so sad for you. Only 4 million times 11, which is $44 million. I'm crying for you. It's 2 million less than it expected, and it forecasts just 1 million additions in the current quarter, which would be the lowest total yet. So Netflix has come back down to earth after stratospheric gains during the opening months of the COVID-19 pandemic. The streaming giant on Tuesday reported 3.98 million new paid subscribers in the first quarter, which is down from 8.5 million reported in the previous quarter. And then before that was 6 million. And they predicted 3 months ago that they would have 6 million for this year, but they did not.
Well, the thing is, they set the bar so damn high that it's like, where do they have to go? It's either they stay stagnant or they go down. So I feel like this type of like self-statistic is difficult. Like they should be competing against the rest of the industry.
And I'm not going to lie, like I don't really care what this means for the streaming wars, but here's what it means for me. People are watching less Netflix. Like we're almost out of the pandemic. Like that's what this means to me. Like
yes.
When we were reporting on like 16 million people signed up for Netflix in the first 3 months of COVID, I'm like, oh fuck, we are like doomed. Like we're all just going to be in our house getting fat, like watching TV.
Yes.
And now it's like, oh wait, we are leaving our houses. We're not watching as much TV. Like
right.
We're going to Mykonos, you know, that's what this story means to me.
I agree. And also, yeah, I mean, it's hard to cry for them when they've still got $44 million coming
in. No, I know. It's like, don't cry for me.
But do you think it is also like the Disney Plus, the Paramount Plus, and like the competition, the HBO? I mean, HBO is like sick shows right now.
What do you subscribe to? Like, what do you pay for?
Okay. Hulu, Amazon Prime, but I really like want to stop supporting Jeff Bezos, so I think I'm going to stop.
How do you stop having Amazon Prime?
I do not know, but I'm...
How are you going to, like, order, like, cups? Like, how do you...
I'm going to open my door.
No!
And walk outside.
No!
And go to the drugstore. What?
No, I'm serious. Like, for me, Amazon Prime, if I had to cancel anything, I would never cancel Amazon Prime because... You get Prime Video with your Prime subscription, right?
Right. But that's what I'm saying is we have that, but I might try to cut the cord because I'm going to try to like not make Jeff Bezos more of a billionaire.
I think that's a huge mistake because you know what? He's going to be a billionaire regardless and you're going to be the asshole who's run out of cups.
Fair. You know what? This week, Taste of Taylor is all about taking down Bezos. So
oh, is it?
Don't even listen to it.
The thing is, like,
it's a lie.
I get like the message.
They're, but they're crazy things though. That like I like in the podcast that we talk about, like that he does. That you're like, what?
No,
am I supporting?
Of course. But you're going to make no impact on him. And it's just going to like lessen the quality of your life because Amazon, as much as people like hate it, it is the most efficient way of getting groceries these days, of getting literally anything you need.
Yep.
So why would you just ruin your life to make a point that's literally going to do nothing?
What did you say this weekend?
What did I say?
Process.
Oh, I actually was thinking about it. Buy artificial, buy international. We were we were driving home from the grocery store, and there was like this really kind of like, you know, like hippie Jeep in front of us that had like all these different bumper stickers. And one of them like really spoke to me because it was literally the antithesis of everything I believe in. It said, buy local. No, buy organic. Buy local. And I'm like, literally, no. If I had a bumper sticker, it would say, buy artificial, buy internationally. Like, if it's not processed and made in China, like, I don't want it. So that's my mantra right now. And that's why I love Amazon. I respect that you want to have principles. I really do.
Yeah.
But at the expense of your own, like,
convenience.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that.
We're going to see. But but for right now, Hulu, Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus, because my fiance's a child.
I love Disney Plus, by the way.
I never watch it.
But do you guys pay for it, like, as a household, or, like, you share with your families?
We pretty much, our families share with us. We pretty much pay for all of them. HBO Max, and then I'm going to get Paramount Plus because I'm on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah, you.
Getting younger.
Taylor hosts the after show for Younger, which is literally my favorite show. New season is coming soon.
It's out. So they dropped it on Paramount Plus.
Oh, wait, all the episodes?
For the first four.
Oh, I love that.
For the final season. And then I think it's going to air on TV Land, like, in its regular season, but, like, with commercials and the whole shebang. If you want it early, you have to get Paramount Plus.
Oh, my God. I did not know that. Yeah. First of all, I will be getting Paramount Plus. Second of all, Taylor knows the ending. She won't tell me. And I don't even want to know.
I won't. But you don't want to know. I would never ruin that moment that I got to have with the end of the show.
Because it's basically, it's like a Sex in the City. It's like Carrie, you know, Petrovsky, Big. Like, it's, okay, I'm excited for it.
It's really good.
You are on Paramount Plus. That's so exciting. You're on a streaming service.
I know. So Getting Younger, the after show, is also on it. So okay, I'm definitely going to get that. And I'm trying to think what else. I kind of want to get Showtime just because there are shows that I love there, but I don't know.
I don't have it. But you know, I know you want to get rid of Amazon, but you know you can subscribe to Showtime through Amazon and pay $7.
Oh, fine. I guess I give up.
I'm just saying, it's so convenient. But yes, I have like every streaming service too, but I only, like, I pay for HBO Max and share it with the family. Like, Olivia pays for Disney and shares it with the family.
That's
like,
smart.
We all just kind of hold our own. Jackie had a Discovery Plus and refused to give anyone her password, which was really fucked up because, like, we have a system.
Wait, why? What was her logic behind that?
She, like, I called her. She was raving about Discovery Plus on the podcast. Oh, also, I have an update for you guys about Jackie. I totally forgot. Okay. I'll get that in a second. She was raving about how the cooking shows have been so, like, therapeutic and it's just, like, a great thing to watch. So I call her and I'm like, okay, I downloaded Discovery Plus. Like, give me your password. She's like, honestly, I don't know. I, like, just make your own. I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, we have a system here. Like, we all share everything. Like,
this is the way it goes, girlfriend.
We have five profiles on Netflix, profiles on HBO Max. I'm like, what the fuck? She wouldn't give it to me. So I signed up for a free trial and then I canceled it. It was so rude.
I'm dead.
But I did want to update everyone on Jackie's progress before we dive into Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment.
Yes.
So I don't know if you know, Jackie's on this kind of wellness retreat.
I wasn't sure if she was on vacation or what.
Well, define vacation, because she's on this like health retreat.
No. That's not a vacation. Vacation is eating everything in sight and drinking like a fish. Yep. Yes.
So I spoke to her this morning because I have been getting a lot of messages, people wanting an update from her. She's really kind of off the grid. She's just not posting
part of
on
the
social
wellness
media.
Retreat, right?
It's just like finding your inner peace. But she's doing really well. She wasn't sure about which facility to go to, and the one that she wanted to go to was so expensive, I literally would not let her pay that. So she found a much more reasonably priced one. But, you know, you do get what you pay for. So we were afraid she was going to show up and be shot, you know. But she was not. It's lovely. She said she's found everything she was looking for.
Good.
She was just looking for like a calm retreat to, you know, balance her health, her mind, to work out. And she's so happy there. She thanks everyone for reaching out. She's just like taking time away, and she said she's doing really good. I mean, she literally FaceTimes me every day, so she's like still on her phone, but she's doing really well. So good. That was an update for everyone. And now we're gonna dive into Dear Toasters. Oh my God, I'm out of breath. Give me a second. I just spit all over myself. Okay, diving into Dear Toasters, which is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I don't know, say anxiety. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, and it is not self-help. It is professional counseling, and it's done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise is available, and they may not locally be available to you. So it's great it's a great service for clients worldwide. Basically, you log into your account anytime and you can send a message to your counselor where you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to go and sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and they offer financial aid. It is available. So go to BetterHelp.com/toast. That's Better, H-E-L-P. Join the over a million... Oh, my God. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast, that's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over a million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Morning Toast listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/toast. All right, Dear Toasters, our advice segment. If you ever want to write in, it's DearToasters@gmail.com. First up, it's a little bit long.
Okay, I like long ones.
First of all, hi, I love you guys, and I need your help. A few weeks ago, I went to look at apartments because I'm moving to my first place without a roommate. When I arrived for my first showing, the realtor was no joke the most beautiful man I had ever laid eyes on. He was so cool, and I felt like we really hit it off. Once I signed for the place and was no longer at risk of seeing this man ever again, I decided to shoot my shot and ask him for drinks. He said yes. I was shook, both that he said yes and that I found a man in the wild. Since then, I've gone on a few great dates, and I had some solid makeout sessions. When I'm with him, he seems so cool, very normal, and we have great conversations. Honestly, potential boyfriend material. We both discussed that we were what we were looking for and seemed to be on the same page. The issue is that when I'm not with him, he is the worst. Only replies to my messages with repulsive attempts at flirting and being cute, and they are so cringy.
Oh, no.
They make me want to die.
No.
I can't even ask him how his day is going without him turning it around into some sort of attempted flattery. Of course, it's nice sometimes, but every message, he calls me weird nicknames, constantly tells me that he misses me, even though we've only hung out a few times, and other things that make him seem like a total schmooze. When I see his name pop up on my phone, it gives me a pit in my stomach.
No.
My question is, what do I do? This man seems so normal in real life, but the way he acts when I'm not with him is painful. He is a stage five clinger or just a bad flirt? How do I politely tell him to chill the fuck out? Oof. Sincerely, a toaster who just wants a normal man. I hate this because I get it. Like, yep. Yeah, oh my God. Like, texting, it sucks because it's such an important part of like relationships, but it really shouldn't be.
It really shouldn't be.
Because it's just like about the connection, but this is exactly a problem. We live in she's a 21st century gal.
I know. God, well, the thing is I dated this guy one time and he was like so good on paper and he like said he would buy me Chanel's, which is like really the way to my heart. So I wanted to be with him, but he in person was cringy.
Right, that's
and gave me a pit. And one time he like did the biggest like spit string in my life and I like wanted to die out of embarrassment for him. So I know the feeling.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to like figure out, is it different in person than it is on the phone? Because like the thing that hooked me to my fiance right now and made me a lesbian
was
her texting skills.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is important, but you're right. Like it could be so much worse. Like would you rather have someone who's terrible in person but a great texter, or someone who's great in person and who just texts weird?
Exactly.
Some people just grew up and didn't learn the proper social boundaries when it comes to texting. Maybe just like stop texting him so much. I actually feel like
yes,
great relationships like really flourish when you text so much. Then you meet in person and you literally have nothing to talk about.
I agree with that. Call him. I know that sounds scary and also sounds like an attack.
FaceTime.
Ooh, ah, voice memo.
Ooh, ah, yes.
Mystery solved.
Yeah, I would just like trying to wean off the text messaging, which is hard for people our age.
I know.
It's such an integral part of like connections.
Well, and all voicemails are for grandmas and moms. And I get like cold calling people feels like an assassination. So how about just do the voice memos? Because maybe then he'll learn through example to do them back.
But what about FaceTime?
Why? If you FaceTime me, we aren't compatible.
Why?
That is like What a terrorist you are if you FaceTime.
I know.
Oh, like, my God.
But I actually feel like people have really cute, like, FaceTime, like, conversations.
No, they do. I mean, Tay's family constantly FaceTimes, and I love them so much.
So do we. Like,
I'm like, why do you have to look at me right now?
I know, but it's like, once you're comfortable with someone, it can actually be, like, a really great way of communicating.
Yeah, me and my 15 shins have a blast FaceTiming.
But that's why you could also, like, you know, work it with angles and lighting.
But that is exhausting.
Dating is exhausting, so get on board, Taylor.
I say try a new method of communication when you're not in person and give Agreed. This guy a chance, because I feel like if
it's
he's
not
great,
worth breaking up with someone.
No.
And it's such a great story. Like, he sold me my apartment. Like, it's so cute.
And he's cute.
Yeah, and he's obviously successful. Like, he has a real job. Do you know how rare that is?
Seriously.
Sounds like there's more good than bad here. I wouldn't let it bother you that much.
Try.
All right, next up. Hey, Claudia and Jackie. Well, Taylor. I have a weird one for you. I'm 27 and currently live in Los Angeles. I don't consider myself someone who's so LA, but I don't know if I can claim that after this. Back in 2018, I casually dated this guy in the film industry. Let's say his name is Andrew. We dated for 8 months. Super casual, friends with benefits. He worked on a bunch of TV shows and movies, but it was his dream to be a director. That Christmas, he flew home to New York, and while he was there, he reconnected with his college girlfriend, and it nearly turned his whole world upside down. He came back to LA and told me all about it. This kid looked borderline shell-shocked because this reconnection had made him nearly uproot his whole life and move back to New York to be with her. But he never did it, and 6 months later, we stopped hooking up because it was amicable. But it was amicable.
Right.
Flash forward to now. We've long parted ways and date other people, and I see on social media that he's finished filming his first indie movie. So obviously, I'm curious what it's about. I just about lose my mind when I see the storyline. It's identical to what happened over the holidays. I just about lose my mind when I see the storyline is identical to what happened over the holidays while we were dating, and the three main characters are him, the ex-girlfriend he couldn't move on from, and the new girl in his life, aka me.
Oh my God.
She's got the same hair, the same eyes, and based on some set photos, nearly the same outfits I wore on some of our dates. I should also mention he texted me out of the blue last year, letting me know he got funding for a film, and asked if I would consider him using my apartment living room for a few scenes since they needed a feminine space. I said no because of COVID, but now I'm wondering if this was supposed to be the living room for the character version of me. The movie comes out sometime this year, but what do I do with this information? Do I just message him being like, am I a character in your movie? Or do I just wait for this premiere and hope to God I'm portrayed well? Sincerely, a very LA toaster.
Wow.
I have to say something. It's a crazy story, but it's an indie film. So, like,
don't worry.
No one cares. Like, it's not legit. Unless you care about, like, this guy and, like, you maybe, like, could see a relationship with him in the future. This could just be like a story about like who you are now, like one of your crazy stories. Like, I don't think you have to like figure it out.
As somebody who lives my life to tell my story, which then involves other people's story, I'd be a hypocrite to like say this guy's in the wrong. But what I really don't like is that he asked to use her apartment without giving her intel.
It would have just been nice to get a heads up, period. Especially since he asked you.
Like, that's my thing. Like, if you just like saw it on social and he didn't ask, it's like, well, it's his like his version, his story, his right.
Yeah.
But the fact that he did involve you for your apartment, then he should have like ponied up the information.
Yeah. But I don't know. If you don't really care about this guy anymore, I don't really feel like you need to like hash it out. Like, this could just be like a funny story you tell when you're drunk.
Yes.
And you could always use more of those stories. I know I can.
Yep.
What's your go-to drunk story?
My go-to drunk story? Probably the fact that I reset my engagement ring for my ex-husband.
That's a good one. It's also your go-to sober story.
Well, I'm always drunk.
Yeah.
So there really That's is no true. Difference.
Our third and final Dear Toasters is an update.
Okay.
From a previous one. Hi, guys. I had previously emailed about my friend who really smelled. She smelled, her clothes smelled, her car smelled. It was bad. I'm happy to report that in the past year, she did a complete 180 and made her health and hygiene a priority, and she no longer smells or wears clothes that smell. Unfortunately, there's a new problem. I recently started dating someone, and a few nights ago, I told my ex, smelly friend, that my new guy sent me a sexual text. He sent it when I was with her, and I was caught off guard because we haven't even had sex yet, so I mentioned it to her. She said that if her boyfriend had texted that to her, she'd break up with him. This is where the problem comes in. I started fuming as she recently got back with her loser ex, and maybe she has pretend amnesia, but I have text messages from her where she unfortunately shared that he went to orgies and got tied up and got his butt licked by people.
His smelly butt?
I'm sorry, I need to start from the beginning. I have text messages from her where she shared that he went to orgies, got tied up, and had his butt licked by other people. And I swear to God, she told me that he ties a belt around his neck when he masturbates so he can pass out. To each their own, but I could have gone my entire life without knowing that. And hello, isn't that dangerous? Should I remind her of these things that she told me about her then ex? And what he did when they were broken up and she hated him. I don't get why she would react that way to a text message that was nothing compared to what she would judge her boyfriend for when they weren't together. Please help. I mean, that,
there's a lot.
That took a turn. We went from smelly to asphyxiation. Now, this friend, okay, so basically the quandary here is that, like, her friend is being really judgmental about this guy she's seeing sending her sex. But right. It's like, we know what you're... ex-boyfriend did, and you were totally fine with it. So it's like, now Judgy Wudgy was a bear when your boyfriend was getting his butt licked.
Well, here's the thing. So Stinky McGee's mad at you for telling her that she was stinky. So she hates
yes!
you forever.
Oh, that's it. It's
so she is going, she is just sitting here, like, waiting for you to give her any information, either your life or your boyfriend, that she can judge and make you feel as bad as you made her feel. But the thing is, you're being a good friend.
If I didn't even think of that.
You need to tell your friend that you smell.
You need to tell your friend that you smell. But I do remember saying that, like, sometimes people smell not because they're dirty, but because it's like some sort of
like halitosis or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's like a...
Do I smell?
No, but not like a disease. It's like a...
They're rotting from the inside out.
No! Some people have, like, disorders that make them smell. I actually know someone who does. So, like...
Really? Not like from the mouth?
Not in a hygiene way. Yes. So there, like, it's side effects of different medications. Like, it could be all these different things. So you have to be really sensitive when you tell someone they smell, because
that's true.
If it's hygienic, I think most of the time it's not hygienic, because most people will know when they smell. Like, a normal person who, like, has a working nose.
Not if they had COVID and they can't smell and taste anymore. I am, like, every day I'm like, do I smell?
You don't smell. You look great.
Swear.
Yeah, but I just think you have to be sensitive in how you...
You
address.
Do. No,
you can't
no.
just be like, you stink.
I remember...
Stinky McGee.
Husband... Like, my mom would come and stay with us in our mansion apartment, and one time he was like, your mom's perfume. My mom wears Chantilly from Walgreens. It's, like, such a thing. And my mom is so fucking fabulous, but, like, yeah. It's the one thing. It's, like, my dad, when he was poor in medical school, bought it for her, and so it's, like, their youthful romance.
I
so
love that.
Even though it's, like, cheap, cheap drugstore shit, it's just, like, their thing.
Yeah.
So he was, and she douses in it. And so he was like, you have to tell your mom she's not allowed to spread her perfume in the
That's
apartment.
That's such
and,
a mean thing to say.
And I was like, you can tell my mom. Like, I'm not gonna, and that was something that doesn't even smell bad. So I get how hard it can be to tell somebody that they stink. So, like, the fact that you did that is, it really is
brave.
A good, brave friend thing to do. But
she's mad.
Hates you.
She's mad. Yeah, like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
We all know that. That's a good point. I totally didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But honestly, this girl sounds like trouble. Like, is a friendship worth pursuing? First she smells, and then she's judgmental. Like, it's honestly, like, I don't think it's worth the trouble.
I don't either. I mean, there are plenty of fishes in the sea, especially when it comes to friendship.
Yeah.
Like,
not every friendship is meant to last forever.
No.
But we're sorry you're dealing with that. But thank you for being vulnerable and opening up to us and giving us an update. If we have read your prompt on air and you want to update us, you can email us deartoasters@gmail.com. Or if you just are having some trouble and you need some thoughtful advice from two fabulous gals, deartoasters@gmail.com. Taylor Strecker, thank you a million times for being here. If you guys liked what you heard, Taylor Strecker has a 2-hour radio show every single day on Patreon, and it's patreon.com/thetaylorstreckershow.
Yes.
You could also just follow her on Instagram, Taylor Strecker, for all the information on your show.
Yep.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
I'm honored.
Guys, this is our last show of the week. I am headed to Florida for some sun.
I'm jealous.
I really thank you all for putting up with me this week. Sorry about Monday. Sorry about Tuesday. Sorry about Wednesday. Hope you guys have an amazing week. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast. Leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Have an amazing hump day. Hump someone you love. I'll be humping Taylor. Love you, Taylor.
I
thank
you
so much. Bye, guys.